I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. In the 1950s, children with autism were called infant schizophrenics. Having a daughter on the autism spectrum, I was thankful that it is no longer the 1950s. I couldn't imagine what it was like to be the mother of an autistic child at the time until I read the candid book by Eustacia Cutler, A Thorn in My Pocket, Temple Grandin's Mother Tells a Family Story. A Thorn in My Pocket is Eustacia Cutler's story of raising her daughter, Temple Grandin, in the conservative Leave It to Beaver world of the 50s, a time when, as I mentioned, children with autism were routinely diagnosed as infant schizophrenics and banished to institutions. She tells of her fight to keep Temple in the mainstream of family, community, and school life, how Temple responded and went on to succeed, as Ms. Cutler puts it, beyond my wildest dreams. Ms. Cutler also explores the nature of the autism disorder as doctors understand it today and how its predominant characteristics reflect our own traits in exaggerated form. Today, however, we're going to be talking about the siblings of children who have autism and the effect that it has on them. Eustacia, I want to welcome you back to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thank you for inviting me.
I always love speaking with you, and everyone really enjoyed your first interview. I had so many wonderful comments from listeners, and I think this is such an important topic to address and one that isn't talked about enough. And if you can, you know, share your thoughts on this important issue.
Well, I agree with you. It isn't talked enough. What people have not understood is that autism is a family disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is because we're social creatures. You and I are talking to each other now. We're responding to each other. We understand something about each other. Now, you have a child who has autism or even milder traits of it. They don't fully understand that you and I have different thoughts in our heads. So because of that, they know their own thoughts. They can tell you exactly what they're feeling. But because they do not understand even that you have feelings, you are diminished. I always like the quote of John Donne, who says that no man is an island. We are all entire of itself. Let me quote it, because I put it in front of me to talk to you today about it. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Now, if a child cannot understand the existence of your mind, you are, in a sense, diminished. This is very hard on siblings who are not yet sure of their own sense of self. Their sense of self is diminished, and that's where the problem starts.
Yeah, you know, my brother growing up, he was profoundly gifted and sensitive, and he was different from the other kids. And people would always say to me, why is your brother acting like that? Why does he always argue? Why is he so smart? Why is this? Why is that? And I always felt like, I don't know. Leave me alone. I don't know what you want me to say. And I think that happens a lot to the siblings of a child, whether it's autism or something else that makes their sibling different, and then
too.
You kind of get blamed for it.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And people ask me, what do I know now that I wish I had known when I was raising Temple? I wish I had known something about this and would have been able to explain things better to the siblings, because they're children too. It's their childhood as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask them too often to be little helpers or good sports about what other children say. That's very hard on a child. That's too mature an onus to put on them.
Yes, it really is. You know, and in my family, everything revolved around my mother, who was also similar to my brother. And she had health issues, and so she had little tolerance and didn't have much patience. And then he was challenging, and it was like my sister and I were kind of left to fend for ourselves. And that, I'm sure that happens a lot too, where the child needs so much time and attention. Like, I have one child. Honestly, I couldn't imagine having any more. I just feel like there wouldn't be enough of me to go around.
Well, in our family, the problem also lay with Temple's father.
Yes.
And as I've said before, we were minor constellations circling around Temple's father and around Temple,
mm-hmm.
who were the stars. And I didn't know how to handle that. I would do it very differently today.
Yeah. Well, I hope
why
you don't
I think
beat
it's terribly
yourself up,
important for us to yeah. talk about it.
It is important. I hope you're not beating yourself up because you did such an amazing job with Temple, really. You're such an inspiration to so many moms who have children with special needs and who have children who don't, really. And
well,
my mother passed away. It'll be 15 years this year, and it's so hard for me not to be able to speak with her now having a challenging child. And maybe I understand her a lot better. I have a lot
yeah.
more sympathy. I'm not as mad.
Well, I too, yeah. about Temple's father, my rage is gone because I understand what he was struggling with,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't understand it then.
No, I mean, that was and people should definitely read your book, A Thorn in My Pocket. It's so powerful. And I mentioned this in our last interview. I actually thought the thorn in your pocket was your husband because he was pretty thorny.
Well, he was thorny. But actually, it comes from, I don't know if I told you or not, the quote from Robert Frost, who began to lecture late in life and was worried about losing his sense of self.
Oh, yeah.
When he talked. And he said, I always keep something in my pocket I can touch when I'm talking, so I'll remember who I am. He said, lately it's been a thorn.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And so I think of that as a symbol of hanging on to your sense of self.
That's really important.
And that's,
you know, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's key. That's all I was going to add.
Well, you
be.
Know, Eustacia, if you can, you know, for parents who are listening and who are struggling with this and seeing their siblings having a hard time, what is some advice that you can offer to help?
Well, people need different aspects. But the first thing I think is there are no answers. There are only choices. But choices are not cut in concrete. You can change them. And you will change them, and you will be changed by them. It's fluid. We're fluid creatures. If I had understood that a little better, it would have helped me over some bad places. But I would recommend that. And I would also say, Temple is not cured of her autism. She is fulfilled, and she's fulfilled as she would like to be fulfilled. And that's the most important thing of all.
That is really important.
Don't worry about all the talk about cures. I don't know. The human race certainly makes a lot of mistakes. You know, all you have to do is read the front page of the New York Times.
Yeah.
And I marvel sometimes that the traffic lights work in the street, but they do work. And we don't have to, and they don't, nobody's trying to perfect the system. We're just going to decide, all of us, we'll obey the traffic lights.
Yeah, and what's your opinion on counseling? I mean, I think that would have really helped me out if I was able to talk to a counselor as a child about how hard it was to, again, I like the way you put it, like we were, the stars were my mother and my brother, and just like you said in your family, it was Temple and her father, the stress that comes around that.
Well, I couldn't agree with more. I think counseling is, it couldn't be more important. Several things happen. I think a really good counselor, sympathetic counselor, is knows how to draw things out of a child. But children will tell a counselor what they won't tell their mother because they know it upsets their mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. And the counselor can talk it over with them.
Yes.
Give them a sense of strength.
That's really good. I think as a child, for me, I would have liked someone to say, you know, it's not your fault, and you can't fix your, you know, sibling or your mother, or, you know, I think take some of the responsibility, because when people are coming at you all the time and wondering why your brother or sister, whatever it is so different, and you feel like you have to defend them all the time, that's not your job.
Well, no, it isn't your job, and you can't take responsibility for everything. I also advocate counseling for the mothers. I had a wonderful shrink who was really a marriage counselor that I would go to, but he taught me a great deal. And one of the things he said to me was, you cannot take responsibility for everything. So just give up that notion.
Yeah, that is really important.
And that's exactly what you're saying. The same things come at all members of the family. And they're not responsible for them. And once you shed that, it's a huge sigh of relief.
Yes, definitely. And what about, you know, if there's any way that I would recommend if parents could try to spend some quality time, even if it's just a little bit with the other siblings, especially if the one with the issues is getting all the attention.
Yes. Oh, I do. And you know what? It's always easy to say these things. Not always easy to do. But, you know, it doesn't have to be anything very complicated. You can just say, everybody out of the kitchen, you and I are going to get dinner together. Because a shared activity is better than sort of eyeball to eyeball. It's not so intense. You're stirring the gravy. You're making the mashed potatoes. And things will evolve in that process. I love the mother who told me, oh, yes, we go together and have our toenails painted.
Oh, great. I did that recently with my daughter, but I did her fingernails. I had a big, important meeting. I've never had a manicure in my life, and I thought, oh, I'll just take my daughter along, and, oh, she loved it. And it was really special, and she still talks about it.
Well, there you see, there it is. It works for everybody, but it's kind of nice. It's a nice little treat for a sibling,
particularly
a little girl.
Yes, definitely. Now, Eustacia, we only have a couple minutes left. Is there anything that you just want to add on this very important topic of siblings?
No, only that I'm so delighted that you are addressing this problem because I think it needs to be brought to people's attention. That's my main message.
Well, I wanted to let you know and let the listeners know that coming up in a few minutes, there's going to be a wonderful writer named Eileen Garvin, and she wrote a great book called How to Be a Sister, a love story with a twist of autism, and she came from a family of five, and she was the youngest, and her sister with autism was 3 years older, but it was, for some reason in her family, she was sort of responsible for her sister, which is such a huge burden to put on a child.
Yes, it is.
It's such a moving and interesting book. I love it, and so I hope everyone could keep listening to Eileen Garvin talk about How to Be a Sister, a love story with a twist of autism. And Eustacia, how can people learn more about you and get your wonderful book?
Well, I guess the book is the last thing that I've written, though I keep writing more stuff, and
oh,
I don't
great.
Know whether that means I should start another book or whether I've done is when I've been at conferences, I've just thrown a lot of essays into the handout sheets because everybody else has. I'm not one for the precise information. I don't use PowerPoints. I, more than anything, just talk about the problem. I figure I'm kind of an ambassador.
Oh, you sure are. Well, I think you're fantastic. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. And the whole month is devoted to autism awareness. So we will have shows on other topics as well, but the majority of the shows. And I was so lucky to hook up with Future Horizons, thanks to Marla Rothfish. And that's how I got in touch with Eustacia, and I'm very grateful. So please check out Future Horizons at www.fhautism.com. And you do work with them as well.
Yes, I do. And it was through Marla, I guess we were both speaking for Future Horizons, that I came to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to keep that network going. I think it's very important.
Yes, we sure will. Well, Eustacia, I want to thank you so much, everyone. Have a great week. Keep being healthy. Take care. Bye-bye.